The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Welcome to Bicycle Talk. It is November 16th, 2020. Without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, she's unable to attend today and did not do her show today. So if you were listening earlier, then you probably got one of her pre-recorded shows from the past with lots of information from Dr. Fran. Anyway, this is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or are listening here on Facebook Live, you can comment in the Bicycle Talk Facebook page or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays on Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. We will continue to do this until we are allowed back in the studio at the UConn campus, which looks very grim right now since the entire campus is on lockdown. Great, huh? You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. Ron's Rant of the Week, wet leaves. I did this a few weeks ago, didn't I? 3 weeks, 2 weeks, can't remember exactly. But I talked about wet leaves. Why do I talk about wet leaves so much this time of year? Well, I'm going to tell you why. A friend of mine had a bad experience with them this past weekend and went down and ended up with a fractured shoulder. Yep, it doesn't take much. You know, not a lot of pressure on the shoulder before you're going to have a problem. So that's what we got. As far as anybody who's watching and commenting right now, Robert and Billy, I can't really type back to you because Fran usually does that while I'm talking. So I am not quite talented to use my computer and also talk at the same time. That's what you get. Anyway, no big deal. If you are listening to this, please disregard everything I just said because it's not really that big a deal. Let's go back to the friend with a bad experience and the shoulder and ouch, 6 weeks until she'll be back to normal. It's a bummer. This happens. I mean, the weather has been reasonable, really pretty reasonable for the most part. So people are still out riding here up in the cold northeast area of the country. And, you know, it's been really, really good. So it's a very unfortunate things, very disappointing. She'll get better soon. Send warm wishes out in the direction of someone out here who I am not going to disclose at this time, who had fallen off of her bicycle this weekend. Otherwise, she is fine, just so you know. All right, so there's my rant of the week on those darn wet leaves. God, I hate those wet leaves. In the be careful who's listening department, this goes along with my rant of the week. Remember this this lovely woman by the name of Chloe Dygert? Chloe is a 5-gold medal record holder, you know, for USA Cycling. She was on her way to winning the world championship time trial, had a horrible accident. You know, things happen. You know, bike racing, it happens. But anyway, Chloe was very, very blessed with the talent that she has. And unfortunately, she was not really well blessed with the brain that she was using when she sent out some tweets. So I'm just gonna give you a little background on her first. We have talked about her before on the show, and I can tell you she's an American professional bicycle racer who currently rides for the American amateur team of 2020 Pro Cycling. She's won 5 gold medals at the UCI Track World Championships and a silver medal at the Olympic Games. She also won the Women's Junior Road Race, the Women's Junior Time Trial, and the 2015 UCI World Championships. So she's been about. She's a well-known person, a well-respected women's racer, well-respected amongst women. And then Chloe did the dumb thing. She took her thumbs out for a walk, and they walked onto her Twitter account. And anyway, so This is from Cycling Weekly. It's also all over Velo News and all the other publications that are out there. And it says, I am committed to keep learning. Chloe Dykert apologizes for her controversial social media conduct. The American rider issued an apology after joining the Canyon SRAM team after having apparently liked a transphobic tweet from Donald Trump, as well as posts stating white privilege doesn't exist. Oh, Chloe, you are just so 19. Actually, she's 23. Maybe she's 14. We don't really know. But anyway, she made a statement that she probably shouldn't have made. Hey, this is a problem. You get in the limelight, you get up there, you become a professional. You got to act like a professional. You know, you got to kind of keep that stuff aside. I'm not keeping it aside, so I guess I'm not professional. But that's what it is. You do have to be careful about what you tweet. That's why I don't use Twitter very much. But I just use it to share bicycle talk stuff. But anyway, you know, it's a scary thing. She got herself in trouble. She had another tweet that reportedly was liked by Dykert, suggesting that the American football player Colin Kaepernick realized that if he grew an afro and played the part of victim, he could scam the black community out of millions. Come on, Chloe, what are you? You're a professional bike racer. Act the part. Thank you. All right, that's my rant. I'm going to stop on Chloe right now because I've already wasted too much breath on her. Really, really unfortunate. So anyway, that's part of the rant. On a positive side, let's go to the positive side here. On a positive side, the positive benefits of riding with a mask. Who would have guessed? Yesterday, I had to pick up a car, and I had to ride my bike there to do it, and the car was 32 miles away. So I decided that I could map out a nice little route to do it, and I hopped on the rail trail for a lot of it and popped out way up in Vernon right by the Pedal Power Bicycle Shop. Little shout out to those guys. I'm not supposed to promote, but, you know, I will promote occasionally. So anyway, the Pedal Power Bike Shop, there's a bike trail that goes right by them, the Vernon Trail, which hooks up to the Hop River Trail. So I went up the Hop River Trail, and I decided when I got early into the ride, I'd seen an awful lot of people on the trail with their masks on, whether they be riding their bikes or walking. So I decided to do the appropriate thing, and I pulled my mask up and put my mask up over my face. And it was a cold morning. And so I'm riding along with this mask, and I'm realizing, hey, this is kind of comfortable, because I had enough of a mask on and enough of a breathing port below it because of the way I was wearing it that it was keeping my face warm. Who would have figured? So the positive benefits of riding with a mask. I figured I'd reflect on it on the show. It was from a personal experience. Maybe it's not so good for most people, but in the cold weather, I got to tell you, who cares? You're not going fast. Hopefully you're not killing yourself and working hard this time of year. It's kind of the wrong time of year to do that sort of thing. So, you know, that's a thing. So I reflected on it. I did that. And I'm going to reflect on one other thing. And again, I hate to use promotional product on the air. So I will say that there is a covering that you can put on your bicycle over your brake hoods or over your levers on your bike. And it is a mitt, and it fits on your bar. So I'll let you figure out what they are, because they're pretty much the only game out there for the most part. They're kind of one of the only ones out. I will admit that I worked for them a number of years ago. I was repping for them. I think they're ingenious. I can go out on a 40-degree day with bare hands, put my hands inside of my bar mitts, and they are steaming hot. I'm just amazed. I said it. Now you got it. Now you know what it is. Here's the deal. They keep your hands warm and well protected from the wind. That's the key right there, is the wind. It's really easy to pull your hands out. And what I do is I ride on the hoods with them, and then I pull back a little bit, and then I can ride on the upper bars, but with my hands a little bit wider. So they're just fine on that. And I am talking about a road bicycle here. Mountain bicycle, same deal. It's really, really simple. So you still have a lot of control of your bike as long as you pay attention attention to the fact that I'm in these things and I have to be careful. The installation and removal is seconds. It's really, really super easy. The cons on them is the hands must be on the brake hoods for easy access to the levers. That's true. It is. But you know what? If you're going to be shifting or braking, you want to have your hands on the brake hoods anyway. That's not a big deal. And then the other con on this is the difficult to store in a small seat bag or jersey pocket, but no harder to store than large gloves. Agreed. A big pair of lobster claw gloves, which I just find useless personally. I know some people, you know, some people do really well with them. I have Raynaud's. My hands get really cold really fast, and when they get there, it hurts. It hurts a lot. So I found bar mitts have erased that problem completely. I am so thrilled with them. And so I wanted to use them on the positive side today because it's just like, it's a positive thing. What can you say? All right, moving on. Another thing on the positive side, of course, we keep getting updates on the Airline Trail North, which is becoming a very, very popular place for a lot of people to ride their bikes right now. And everyone is extremely anxious on this because of the bridge network, which is going in any day now. Well, any day now was supposed to be tomorrow. And now any day now is not tomorrow. Any day now is now. First Selectman Maureen Richie Nicholson stated at a Zoom meeting that her latest status was November 20th. And November 20th, they will be putting the bridge over Route 169 up in Pomfret, Connecticut, and we can finally cross over Route 169 without getting run over by a semi, which would be very, very nice. I like that idea. Or any other fast-moving motorized vehicle, which should not be going that fast in that area, but no one pays attention to the speed limits, so therefore we have that issue. But anyway, the last stated sighting of the bridge was somewhere in Pennsylvania. So we're close. But of course, to get from Pennsylvania to northeastern Connecticut, we have to go through the infamous state of New York. And if we're going through the state of New York, what do we have? We have the George Washington Bridge, or we have the Tappan Zee Bridge, or it's just, or maybe you can go all the way north and go through Albany and come across the Mass Pike, but generally speaking, it's going to take a while to get here. So anyway, Billy says, carry two masks with you in case the porta potties are out of toilet paper. Oh, that's just really all kinds of wrong. But anyway, Pete, yeah, I like the comments on the bar mitts too. I think they're great. I just think they are wonderful. But anyway, the First Selectman in the town of Pomfret said November 20th, there have been sightings in Pennsylvania on the bridge, so we're going to see the bridge real soon. I can't wait. And one last little piece of positive side I have to throw out there, bells on bikes. So I know, it's a goofy little addition to your bike. Some people, they put bells on their bikes and they find it humorous because it's kind of a fun thing. Maybe you had one as a kid and it would be a cool thing to put on your bike. Who knows what it is, but what it comes down to is if you're going to be riding on a very populated trail or even a bicycle lane of sorts, and you're going to be encountering people that are going at different speeds or maybe are pedestrians or whatever, it's a really good idea to let them know you're coming, because when you come up behind them really fast and say, hello, on your left or on your right or whatever it is, you scare the bejesus out of them, and that's not so good, right? We don't want to scare people. We want to be the friendly bicycle rider out there. So hence, here comes the bell. Maybe you have a horn. You can do a horn, too. Do-do-do-do. You know those? Remember those? Everybody remembers those. They're still available. And some of the bells that are available are, like, to the point of ridiculous. They're expensive, and they're really, really loud. Excuse me. Sorry. So, anyway, I have a little bell on my bike. It's not a... It's relatively incredible. I'll leave it at that. And it makes a lot of noise for a little bell. And I put it on my bike, and when I'm approaching someone from behind, and I have learned also that these things can be heard a lot further back than you realize. So test your range on your bell and see just how soon someone actually notices it when you ring it. So what it does is it informs people that someone is coming up the trail. They turn around, they look at you, and they get, the best thing I heard was I got three, not one, not two, but 3 thank yous yesterday from people that I used the bell with. And one of the women just said, I really like the fact that you're using a bell. There it is. What a positive thing. Because it works. It actually works. It doesn't scare people. And it's a very friendly reminder that you're coming up behind them and, you know, let them know. Let them know. Be courteous. Gosh, you know, we are the ambassadors of our own sport. And if we don't at least practice simple things like this, we're not looked at as nicely. So let's not, you know, do it any other. The bell's great. And I, Robert loves his spur cycle bell. It's cast right here in Connecticut. No kidding. Is that cast, by any chance, Robert, is that cast in East Hampton, Connecticut, in the place that makes bells? There's a bell factory in East Hampton that had burned down a few years ago, real close to the rail trail. But I don't know what that is. So we'll see. Hi, Bill. How you doing? We got Winter. Hello. How are you? We got lots of people watching today. Very cool. Thanks. Thanks, you guys. I really appreciate it. I'm working on a YouTube channel for past episodes. I'll let you know about that when we get a little bit closer to that. That's just a matter of me getting my act together and doing it. But I will let you know about it in the future. So anyway, yes, Bevan Bell. Bevan Bell in East Hampton, Connecticut makes really cool bells. I'm going to talk to them about that. I want one of those. That'd be cool. Not only would it be cool to have a nice bell on my bike, which I already have, but I will get a nicer one, but it would be really nice to have a Connecticut-made product like that, too. That would be really cool. When I get more information on it, I will, of course, post it on my Bicycle Talk Facebook page. If anyone wants to look at that, they can check it out, and we'll put a link over there. Or if you don't mind, Robert, if you could send me over the link to the Facebook page, that'd be cool. That'd be totally cool. Thanks. So let's get on into the content of the show. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to go to the maintenance minute first, of course. So here's an interesting thing. Patent wash, all right? Where is it? Here it is. There are two companies offering wireless shift adapters as SRAM application touts a similar technology. So what's going on here is SRAM has recently put out a patent application for electronic cable puller, ECP, points to increased integration of e-bikes, but it also might lead to some conflict between SRAM and two U.S. companies that are already offering products using technologies similar to what SRAM describes in the application. With the e-bike surging in population, both U.S. and globally, manufacturers have been considering what else large e-bike battery power could use to propelling the bike. Headlights, taillights, integrated computer displays are obvious accessories to draw juice from an e-bike battery. And Magura has shown that they also have heated grips that they're using e-bike battery power. So, and then Fox has an e-live valve that is using bike battery to control suspension and Fox suspension. There's all sorts of cool stuff coming out. It's like crazy, crazy stuff. I still use, by the way, this just for the techno weenies out there, this guy still uses cables. I know. I've heard it. I've heard it from you all. I still use cables. Anyway, but SRAM has its real eyes on derailleurs. Get this. Do you remember the ETAP, the old Mavic one? We don't want to go there. It was a disaster. I mentioned it last week on the 5 worst things that ever were invented for a bicycle. I think Mavic won number 5 on that list. Anyway, so what they're talking about, putting a motor inside of the derailleur, all right, and then a button up on the handlebars that controls the motor back and forth to shift your bike. This eliminates all use of wires and cables. Interesting, huh? Requires a well supplied checkbook, and because it's not going to be cheap. And this has got us. Sorry about that, folks. And you're going to have to recharge a battery every 60 hours of riding between charges. But the concept, which is in their application, and I've got a picture of it here in front of me, which you can't see on a podcast or on a radio show, but that's all right. I might be able to take this and put it onto the Facebook page, and then you will be able to take a look at it. But anyway, the concept is right here. It's very intriguing that we would have an electric derailleur. I'm surprised it has taken this long to happen this way and without wires, which is really, really interesting. So anyway, that's what's going on. No cables, no wires, motors coming. And why is this becoming a problem? Well, one reason that SRAM does not want to develop its product that risks cannibalizing its own ETAP product line is... They got a little hurdle here that they got to work out. This is becoming a lawyer situation. There's an intellectual property situation here, which as there is a prior art around wireless electronic cable pullers, X-Shifter and Archer components each market similar products, but with internal batteries instead of relying on an e-bike battery. So the founder, Paul Gallagher, and a former SRAM engineer launched with a Kickstarter program in 2016, told Brain, that's Bright School Retail and Industry News, where I'm reading this from. He was shocked to learn about the new SRAM patent applications. It's almost identical to my product. Well, you know, there's a problem, isn't it? So anyway, it's, and I'm getting messages on my screen. I hate that. So he's based in Taiwan and he's sold thousands of X shifters. He focuses on sales to the makers of special bikes, including hand bikes, folding bikes, where the derailleur cable routing can be difficult. And he has had his patent pending on the product since 2015. So he predates both SRAM and Archer, so he's not worried. He said he doesn't even worry about SRAM copying me because they copied my old version. My new version is vastly improved, he said. Archer Components, Brandon Rogers, was granted a patent in December of 2019. Archer has sold some 3,500 of its D1X systems, beginning production in 2018. Unlike the X shifter, Archer focuses more on marketing to enthusiasts. I'm going to do a little research on these guys. I am not aware of them, and it sounds interesting, and it might be interesting to see exactly what they may have to offer for us. But anyway, the lawyers are stacking it up, getting ready to go to battle on this and see, you know, who owns the rights to what and who's infringing on whose patent. And patent business is a messy business, but that's what's going on. I just thought it was really cool that this technology is moving in this direction. So SRAM's patent application, just so you know, only recites a cable puller for rear derailleurs, not known for champion drivetrains, but the same idea of tapping into an e-bike for power could be employed in other components as well. But anyway, so we'll see how it shakes out. I'm sure there will be updates on this as I get news from Bicycle Retail and Industry News just about weekly, if not even more so, and we'll see how this launches forward, because it's kind of interesting. So I brought it up on the Maintenance Minute because it's kind of a, you know, maintenance sort of thing. It's a mechanical thing. So anyway, moving on from that, we are going to get deeper into the show, and we have here, there's a whole lot of things going on right now. One thing I want to talk about is we're having a COVID surge all over the country, and it's getting colder out, and there's more people indoors, and there's all sorts of things going on with shutdowns and lockouts, and you can't get to work, and you can get to work, but you got to take mass transportation if you live in a city, and do you want to do that? And maybe I want to ride my bike, and because it is truly the safest vehicle I own, it's out in the open, in the air. It's even really safer than a car in many, many ways. The only issue is it's cold out there, baby. Okay, so we're going to have some cold weather issues coming up. And this show is going to be dedicated a little bit more to making that adjustment from summer to winter and how to sustain yourself on your bicycle in the wintertime. So, Jan, Bill, hello, how are you? Cool, cool. So anyway, here we are. Let's try to stay warm. 15 benefits of cycling. Why cycling is good for weight loss, fitness, legs, and mind. I've got that little piece to talk about. 6 tips to carry your bicycle, carry your summer biking habit into the fall. And 7 bike commuter tips for the first timers. We're going to go through all of these today because let's face it. We're going to be back on our bikes, whether it's chilly outside or whether it's not chilly outside. And what do we do to be able to prepare ourselves for that? So I'd like to have a little chat with you guys today. We talked a little bit about winter cycling equipment last week. We will continue to talk about winter cycling equipment for many weeks. I'm having a funny feeling because I don't think anything's going to open up right now. The lovely University of Connecticut campus has decided to basically quarantine all the dorms on campus. Hey, there you go. They went from being one of the top-rated, low-COVID universities in the country, even getting national recognition on it, to shut down. That's it. There's something about kids and Halloween and alcohol. Mix that together. See what you come up with. I found that the last time I mixed that all up and stood back and watched, it equaled COVID. Anyway, sorry, just a little political statement, but you know what? It's out there. So what's the best way to transport yourself? On your bicycle, of course. This is bicycle talk. This is what we talk about. This is what we do. We ride bikes, and we ride bikes to commute with. I have a store that is relatively close to me, within 3 miles range, 4 miles range at the most, and a few grocery stores that are in that general area. And I can ride my bike to them, and one of them I can ride my bike to on mostly on the rail trail and back. So again, I'm riding my bike to the store, and I have protection, and it's kind of cool. I had to go pick a few things up last week, and I put my messenger bag on my shoulder, and I hopped on my single speed, and I rode down to the store and picked up a few items and then rode back home. Nice, huh? Pretty cool. So, you know, using the bike for transportation, getting a little fitness from it, and at the same time, this is like so much a no-brainer. And if we can get the country to understand that this is an option which is very viable, we could make enormous changes how the whole country could be transformed over, you know, a COVID scare, which is not a scare. I mean, people are dying, so it's not a scare at all. It's reality. I have a book, and I'm looking up at my shelf here over my computer, and I don't see it. But there is a book that talks all about bicycle economics and why riding bicycles can basically change the world. And of course, you know, I'm a true believer. That's why you're listening to Bicycle Talk right now. I hope you're a true believer too. And so there are just a bunch of reasons. And I'm going to try. I'm not a good reader. I hate to say it. I'm not a good reader. But I'm going to try to bury myself into that book over the next few weeks and maybe come up with some good solutions and some good information that I can then pass on to you here on the Bicycle Talk podcast. So, and maybe if we get really lucky and Ron figures out how to get his old brain to work around new technology, we could even get an interview with the author of the book. That would be a really super thing. But let me work on one step at a time here until I figure this all out, because I also have some other people out there that are extremely interested in getting involved here too, including the owner of Ciclismo Classico, which I would love to get her on the show. So we're working on it. I need a 10-year-old. Anybody got a 10-year-old who want to rent to me for a little bit to teach me how to use all this technology? That'd be great. But anyway, we'll figure it out. So here we go. Let's start with this one. 6 tips to carry your summer biking habit into fall, because it is fall. And, you know, this is a little dated, but it did come out in October, October 20th. And this actually came for People for Bikes. If you're not familiar with People for Bikes, you should become familiar with People for Bikes, because if you believe in or live within the world of bicycle advocacy, these folks are a good resource for you. So I would strongly encourage you to go to peopleforbikes.org, and you can get information as to what's going on in the advocacy world. But one of the things they put in here was a tips to bring your summer biking habit into fall. Well, your summer biking habit is, it may be recreational, it may be, transportational. I don't know. It could be related to anything, but or it could be fitness oriented. But, there is life after cold weather, and there are ways of dealing with it. So the number one thing they have on their list here is quell your feels with cold weather gear. The right gear does make the difference. Outfitting yourself with the items you need to stay warm and dry comfortably when you ride will make your colder weather rides bearable, dare we say it, even enjoyable. Marginal, but I just hate being cold. But anyway, consider the length of your ride and the conditions you expect to encounter to help determine what gear you'll need. I know that my range of riding in the wintertime primarily is I'm good for about an hour, and then things just don't work so good anymore. Joel LaChance, hey Joel, thanks for listening. He says, bicycle riding is an essential skill that needs to be taught in all public schools. Absolutely, Joel. I agree with you completely. Everything can change. It's and it can all change for the better. And not only, I just went off course because I read your note to me there, Joel, but here we go. My feeling is that the key to change in any aspect of anything you want to change in the world, or making just a big blanket change, it's the 12-step program. No, I'm not talking about AAA is the Automobile Club of America. We're not going to do that. I'm not talking about AA. I'm talking about the 12 steps that are required to plant inside of someone's brain that this is the way I'm going to do it now. And that is education. Grade 1 to grade 12. Okay, think about it. If every single year you were told or instructed or given information about health and fitness and exercise and maybe the rules of the road on your bicycle, because you can ride your bike on the road when you're in first grade without a driver's license. What's wrong with that? Everything's wrong with that. You learn the wrong things. You learn from, where do you learn? You learn from either school, which is not really supporting that kind of program enough at this time. I'm not saying ever, because I know there are schools that do focus on this. I know my local grammar school here in Mansfield, where my son went to school, the fitness director there, or gym director, I don't know what the proper thing is to call the person who basically runs the gym programs. But anyway, she is a big advocate of teaching kids how to ride bikes. As a matter of fact, whenever I can find a bike that needs to be fixed up and is still usable, I will donate them to her so that she can continue her program. And that's something also, as an advocate out there in the field, as we all are, this is something you might want to get a connection with your local grammar school and say, hey, would you do a bicycle course if I were to be able to get you some bicycles to teach kids how to ride bikes? Along with that, I have also donated helmets over the years. It's definitely a thing that can be done to help promote the education of children. But the key thing is, they don't know the rules of the road when they first get on a bicycle. And this has to begin from the very start. So first grade's a great place to start. Senior year in high school is a great way to end it. And then it will be ingrained in them for life, including the Automobile Anonymous. Good. Very good. Thank you. This is definitely a... I see. Automobile Anonymous, a 12-step program to free yourself from your car and attach yourself to biking. That's great. So anyway, let's go back to making that transition, though, from your summer biking habit to your fall. And I will drift myself back in this direction here to continue this discussion. So you need to make investment in clothing. So, I've got a lot of clothes. Why do I need anything different? Well, you need wicking clothing that's next to your body that's going to draw the moisture off of your body. Otherwise, you're going to get cold, damp, and uncomfortable, and it's not going to work really well. You need some sort of a shell or something that goes over your shoes and your feet. They make all sorts of cool covers that you can put on your cycling shoes if you're using cycling shoes. If you're not, a good pair of heavy hiking boots and wool socks go a long way. Yeah, you can't clip them in, but you know what? For the winter, you can deal with it. We had this talk a few weeks ago. We talked about options that you have out there. So, Washington, D.C. public schools train 4,000 second grade students every year. Awesome. Wool and a windbreaker. Yes, Joel, I agree. A windbreaker, by the way, if you carry a bicycle tube with you when you go out and ride your bike, because why do you do that? You do that because if you get a flat, you need your bicycle tube, right? That's what you got to do. So if you carry a bicycle tube with you, why don't you carry one of those like super, super thin, and there's lots of them out there, shells with you when we get to that time of the year when things are kind of changing, or you know, you go out on a day that's questionable and you're not really sure if you're going to run into that problem or not. You know, you don't want to get hypothermic. You don't want that. It's such an essential must-have item. That's a must-have item. Knee warmers are a must-have item. Arm warmers are a must-have item. They're all super easy to carry with you, and it's really not a problem. If you want to get in now, yesterday, it was a lot colder than what I would do with that type of apparatus, so I had a heavier cycling jacket, and I had some heavier tights that I was wearing, and I also had my insulated shoe covers because I hate cold feet, and of course, I had the mitts on my handlebars, which... That's a no-brainer. That's just such a beautiful thing. I don't know a better solution. It's the best I've seen in years. So you can do that thing, but you need to be able to also regulate your body temperature, because you're going to warm up going up a hill. You're going to cool down going down the hill. So zippers. That's why do they put zippers on cycling jerseys, people ask? Well, there's the no-brainer answer right there. You want to do the same thing with jackets, the same thing. Some of the jackets, like rain jackets, if you're wearing one of those, some of them have an armpit zip, which you can zipper down, open and close it, and add ventilation under your armpits, and you can regulate your temperature there. There's lots of ways to regulate temperature. A two-way zipper, one that zips from the bottom as well as from the top, two ways that you can zip it up from the bottom. You can regulate heat down there that way. There's so many ways to do it. So there's the one thing. Quell your fears with cold weather gear. And this cold weather gear is an investment. You will have it for many, many years. It lasts a fairly long time, especially if you invest in good quality equipment. Think about the next time you change the oil in your car and how much it cost you to do it and what a piece of good clothing would cost you. Chances are it's really, really close to the same, and you're still able to ride your bike. And after you get done, your oil doesn't wear out, and then you have to get new oil. You just keep riding with your equipment. So just to, kind of bring that to a reality. Weatherproof your bike. If you haven't already experienced the joy of rain and mud splattering up your back all ride long, let us save you a little trouble with this bit of advice. Invest in fenders. Yes, fenders, folks. I talked about fenders a few weeks ago, too. Fenders they're silly looking, and if they're not good or installed correctly, they rattle and they make noises and weird things like that. But when you do it right, fenders are great. They're awesome. They keep the moisture off of you. The big thing I noticed about fenders when I went to fenders was that my feet stayed drier. Think about that just for a second. Why did my feet stay drier? Because my front wheel was splashing so much stuff up onto my shoes that my feet would instantly get cold because they would get wet. And it was just once I put a fender on the front, and the one I was using at that time when I first started had a big flap on it, and there was no moisture coming up onto my shoes anymore. Hey, who would have thought? So that is, fenders are also a really good thing. There are also some quickie install clip-on fenders you can get, and it's not perfect, not as good as a full fender, but it certainly helps, and it makes a big difference. Tell you one other thing that fenders help you with. It makes your clothing last longer because you're not splashing as much crud up from the road. So You should know that. Okay, and then as far as weatherproofing your bike, also, you should already be in the habit of carrying a flat tire kit, but it's time to start, because when you get into the lesser wonderful climate weather that we're dealing with when you get into winter, the roads are wet, and wet roads tend to, there's something about wet roads and tires and glass, and they connect to one another. So you're more susceptible to getting flat tires because of that. Let's take the ultralight tubes out of the bike. Let's put some little wider tires on and put some heavier tubes in the inside just in case. That'll help to a certain degree. Or if you're tubeless, of course, you've got sealant in the inside, so hopefully that will help you too. But getting a flat tire in the middle of a downpour, I will tell you right now, is no fun at all, because you're just standing there getting soaked, your hands are wet, you can't grab on, it's just not a pleasant experience. But you can always make it into a great talking point when you get home or you get to work and say, hey, guess what happened to me today? And anyway, everyone will have sympathy for you, and they'll buy you a warm coffee, and it'll be such a nice thing. So make something good out of it. Anyway, bring your street skills. Okay, when moisture hits the road, conditions change very, very fast. Stick to the routes you've gotten comfortable with over the summer. Avoid riding through puddles. Yes, please avoid riding through puddles, because under puddles, there are potholes. And in those potholes are these creatures with big teeth, and they grab onto your wheels and they destroy your wheels. So stay out of the potholes. Anyway, light on the creature idea, but you get the idea here. So, just watch very carefully there. Remember, if you're using rim brakes, your brakes don't work so good. Usually one full revolution of the brakes on full on your rim will clean the rim off enough so you'll have a little more grabbing power, but you have to allow a little extra time when you're braking in the wet weather. So just keep that in mind. Light it up. Okay, let's put some lights on those bikes. You don't have lights on your bikes yet? I have lights on my bike during the day. I have lights on my bike during the night. I rarely ride at night, but occasionally get stuck at night. But put some lights on your bike, because when the weather turns and gets ugly and gets dark, even during the daylight, you're a lot harder to see. Even if you have the please don't hit me yellow jacket, jersey, whatever it is on, lights work better. So I find that a really nice flashing white light beacon in the front lets the cars that are coming towards me know that I am over there on the other side of the road. And it's just an alert to them to possibly make a rational decision. I said possibly make a rational decision to slow down, because there may be a car coming the other way and they may have an encounter that they need to pay attention to. Doesn't always work, but hey, it's another idea out there that might help. As far as lights in the back, absolutely lights in the back. I think that they're really, really helpful. If you're commuting on your bike, there's a great rear light setup that actually marks out a lane around you, a 3-foot lane that you are lit in, and it will kind of get the point across to someone who's coming up behind you that this is your space. And I think that those are really, really good. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff. number five here on the list is cold weather can make us fickle even when we have the best intentions. Biking with a buddy makes the ride more fun and helps keep both of you accountable by getting your butts off the couch and onto your bike seats. So yeah, that's if you're riding on a recreational situation. And then treat yourself. It says right here, let's be honest, even with all the right gear, the right attitude, an awesome riding buddy, riding in the cold isn't the most fun or appealing. But no one said you have to ride every day. Instead, give yourself a goal of just setting a number of times a week that you get out and ride. You don't have to ride every day. You can take a day off in between. You can mix it up a little bit. You can ride to work one day, have a motorized vehicle there that you drove there the previous day, and then ride home, and then you can just do a one way as far as your commute goes. And then, you know, you cut the miles in half a little bit. It's a little chillier. It's a lot harder. One thing that I noticed yesterday when I was out riding is that the cold weather affects me enough to the point where I don't feel as strong when I'm on my bicycle as I do when it's warm out. So I also feel like I don't have the same range that I would have normally on a nice warm day. So, you know, give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. You know, you're riding your bike. You're doing a really great thing. So that was from People for Bikes, the six tips for making that transition. And then they have more out there too, which I will go over this one a little more quickly because we are just eating up a crazy amount of time here. Fedora is not required. 7 bicycle commuting tips for first timers. This got republished recently and rebroadcast into my waves here once COVID hit, because the commuting thing became a thing. And so this original article came out in 2013. That's how long ago someone came up with this idea. And it was all about, you know, never has it been a better time to think about being green. Well, gee, that's the same as it was in 2013. You know, you want to do something for your environment. So that's all part of that. Maybe you want to do something for your health. So there's something about that too. Is there any difference whatsoever from 2013 and now? Only that right now, it's probably safer to ride your bicycle than it is to ride on a bus. So, enough said there. First on their list, baby wipes, baby. All right, yeah, baby wipes. No shower at the office? No problem. Stock of baby wipes and travel-sized deodorant can make almost shower fresh at any time. Yeah, it's not perfect. You know, shower in a sink. I've done it. I will say I've done it a number of times. When I rode my bicycle back way, way back in the old days when, you know, the bikes had square wheels. Remember that? Really old. I rode my bicycle across the country in 1975. And we did a lot of bathrooms and gas station kind of cleanups. And, you know, you get good at it. You figure it out. You get good at it. And we didn't have baby wipes. We just had, you know, soap and water. And we had washcloths with us. And we, you know, took a shower and sink. That's basically what we did. Couldn't do the hair very easily, but we could always find a place that we could go swimming along the way or whatever. And we could at least, you know, wash our hair out that way. So there are ways. You just have to be a little more clever as far as that goes. But if you're just doing a commute back and forth, chances are you'll probably be home at night and you'll be able to take the real shower at home at night. But if you don't have that shower at work, then there you go. If you can talk a half a dozen or more of your friends and coworkers into riding their bikes to work, maybe you could have a talk with your supervisor about a shower at work. Just a thought, just putting it out there, not trying to create a revolution here, just trying to make some good suggestions. Not to mention that when you're making a proposal like this to your supervisor or maybe even the CEO of the company that you're working for, you give them a list of all the benefits that cycling brings to your brain for brain power at work and why they should be promoting more people riding their bikes to work. So there, I've said it. We're going to move forward. So here we go. Second on the list here, panniers. Yeah, panniers. What are panniers? People go, what's pannier? Well, it's a French word. I think it's a French word. And it basically is a set of saddlebags that fit over a rack over the back of your bike, and you can put all sorts of stuff in them. They make incredibly high-level waterproof ones that you can keep everything completely dry in. They make regular ones if you don't want to do that. They make grocery bag size panniers that you can put on either side so you can go to the store. Panniers are great. Panniers are a wonderful idea and they come in all shapes and sizes. So they're a rider's best friends, So it's definitely a very, very useful piece of equipment. Mix and match. Long commutes don't have to put the kibosh on biking to work. There are a lot of ways for biking to be part of your commute without having to replace it. Leapfrogging, where you drive to work with a bike in the morning, bicycle home, then repeat the reverse the next day. I mentioned that earlier. That's a really good idea. Or you can use a bus-bike combo, but a lot of people aren't doing the bus and train thing. It's kind of weird right now. We're all a little freaked out about it, so you can figure it out. It's just you got to start putting on your think a little bit deeper brain. And you know, figure out what's going to work for you. We'll talk about that a little bit as I go to finishing notes here today. Extra clothes. Yeah, yeah. If you plan to change your clothes at work, keep extra clothes and extra shoes at the office. There will be a day when you forget yours at home. It happens, trust me. Light it up. Put lights all over your bike. There's so many cool things you can put on your bike to light your bike up. I participated in a number of years ago, a few years ago, it wasn't that far, that long ago, for the Hartford Marathon. Kyone Wolf and Anthony Tirolis put on a pedal to the metal, which was a pre-riding of the Hartford Marathon course in the wee hours of the morning. I think we started at 4 o'clock, and everybody came with like decorated and lit bikes. And it's fun. It's fun. It's just kind of a cool thing you can do, and you'll be seen better. So not to mention just your regular lights, you can also get decorative, like little battery powered Christmas lights or holiday lights, we'll call them, to be politically correct. And you can put them all over your bike, and you'll be seen. Trust me, they'll see you. People will toot their horns when they go by because you're, like, extremely noticeable. So it's just kind of a fun thing. And next one here. In a pinch, grab a bag. Garbage bags are the duct tape of bicycle commuting. I love it. And they are. They're also the duct tape of pre-marathon runners that are out during really, really bad days that they're going to go run a marathon in. And they don't want to have to wear a lot of clothes, but they want to stay dry before the gun goes off and they end up standing around for hours on end. So garbage bags, you know, innovate, improvise, do whatever you need to do. Recycle the garbage bag, please. Don't put it in the wrong place. You can put them around your laptop computer. You can put them, and anything that you don't want to have get wet, like all your clothes that maybe are in your pannier and you didn't get the waterproof pannier because you wanted to save a couple of bucks. garbage bags, great. They really work, and they will seal everything up, and then you'll have dry clothes when you get to work. Good. Excellent. And then scout it out. This is the important part. Take a look at the most direct way to get to work. Chances are it is probably going to include some pretty major roads. Yesterday, my commute to get to where I was going to put me on a major road. The efficient way or the fastest way to get to where I was going to go was to stay on those main roads. But I chose not to because I am a roads with names guy, not a road with numbers guy. So I was on Route 30 in Vernon for a very short period of time. But as soon as I could get off of it, I got onto my ride with GPS. I looked around. I found all these back roads. I rode through a whole bunch of neighborhoods. Everyone was raking leaves yesterday. Yeah, it's fall. It's New England. We rake leaves. This is what we do. A lot of leaves. And Connecticut has a lot of trees and a lot of leaves. Everyone's out raking their leaves. I was saying hi to everyone. Everybody's saying hi back. And I never saw a car. Beautiful thing. Beautiful, beautiful. So, therefore, I was decreasing my chances of having an encounter with a motorized vehicle by finding those back roads. Did it take me a little longer to get where I wanted to go? Yeah, I actually measured them out the both ways just because I was anal enough to try to do that. And it cost me 3/4 of a mile of difference. Who cares? 3/4 of a mile, no cars versus 3/4 of a mile, bumper to bumper traffic. Forget it. Simple, simple, simple. Map out your route. So there you have it. That's what you can do to 7 bike commuting tips for first timers. It's not as hard as you think it is, and it's really, really a great thing. You know, we're starting to eat up some serious time here, so I'm going to have to move the rest of this show on to next week, where I will discover some more things that we can talk about here. Let me just look at my list here and see what else I had. So we will talk a little bit more about winter cycling survival and how we can keep you riding all winter long. I got a great piece from a British cycling site where they're pretty serious about their bicycle commuting in the wintertime. And they get a lot of rain, so they don't get as much snow as we get. That changes the whole scenario. But they do get, you know, a lot of rain and cold, damp. My worst weather. Cold, damp, I hate the most. I'd rather a sunny, snowy day than a cold, damp, rainy day. But anyway, And then I've got some things to talk about as far as People for Bikes also had a really cool article out about improving bicycle networks for cities and towns. So, but we're going to have to shelf a lot of this. I have other pieces of improvements here, indoor workout improvements. We have lots of time, folks. I'll be here every week. I am Peddler Ron, and I'm here at Bicycle Talk, and I'm here for your suggestions and anything you have of interest that you can share with me. Of course, I will try to share with the listeners out here. Here we go. Hey, Patrick. Wow, how are things in Singapore, Patrick? Yeah, we have a listener that Fran rides with indoors on Zwift that lives in Singapore. Very cool. Totally cool. Anyway, so you can always listen to my the recorded version of this because we will save it and it will be recorded. So you can certainly either check out the Facebook Live or you can check out the podcasts that we will offer afterwards. So I'm going to go on to events. What's next? Well, there's not a whole lot, but there are some things coming up. November 23rd, the 2020 Multimodal and Transit Summit will be, this is through Hartford, and you will find this in the Transport Hartford Facebook page. You'll find more information about that. Our friend Tony Trellis has sent us over information on that. Very big advocate as far as cycling goes in the Hartford area. And very, very close connection to the to Bicico and the Latino Center in Hartford. Just they're doing all sorts of great things. Hartford is just moving and shaking in this cycling thing. What a great place to move and shake. It's our state capital. It's a great place to get attention of the right people to make things happen even more. So what else is going on? Well, I went to the cyclocross page on Bike Ridge, and that was a little grim. There's not really a whole lot out there. I think I saw something in Massachusetts next weekend. That's about all I saw. We're pretty light in cyclocross, which is usually something I am just jazzed and talking about all fall season because it is one of my favorites, and I am a promoter of cyclocross, so I really like to promote the idea of the sport because I still do believe it's one of the best ways to get into bicycle racing that I know of. So anyway, Patrick says we are heading towards reopening from COVID restrictions. Good. Yay, Singapore. At least somebody's got their act together. We're not so good over here in the U.S. Not so good. But, you know, we'll get by. We survived an election. We'll survive COVID. Unfortunately, many didn't. But anyway, the Sea Otter Classic is going to shift its May dates for 2021 with October as a backup. So Sea Otter, which is probably the largest consumer bicycle show / bicycle event in the United States as far as being a big event and having lots of vendors there and all, they're shooting for May for 2021, and October is a backup because we just don't know where we're going to be. So finishing points: winter is coming, COVID is here, time to adjust. Is a bicycle trailer in your future? Maybe we'll talk about trailers next week, too. We can talk about why a trailer. Why would you go with a trailer? What is your reasoning? I have lots of reasons. Is it time to map out the best and safest routes to your grocery store? To the bank? To the post office? Make a list of all the things that you would have relied on with your mass transportation or other forms of transportation to cover for you and remap your life. The positive benefits of riding with a mask. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. It's cold out. It's not uncomfortable anymore. It's great. It really, really works well. That's what I've got. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Peddlin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my co-host, Fran Storch. She'll be back. A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page or on a podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, please send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores and WHUS.org. Take care.